everyone, I am Heather Markell, and welcome to another episode of The Inspired Nomads, where we talk to amazing people who have left stability and find out what happens when you do that and go travel the world. So today we have with us Cason Lane from
California,
right?
San Diego.
I was like, California or Washington. We met at dinner the other night. We are in Cape Town, South Africa. I'm so excited. This is my sixth continent on my travels, and somewhere that I kind of, Africa, I don't know, it's like that faraway place that you like talk about and you see pictures of, but do you actually go there? And I'm here, so I'm very excited. So, Cason, tell us a little bit about, first and foremost, what is the stability that you left? I know it was a while ago, but what were you doing?
So I had a full-time job managing employee communications for a fast food chain in the United States.
Fast food, wow, okay.
And I had been there for some 8 years, and I was making great money, a six-figure salary and benefits, and I had job security. But I had just, I had realized that there was a difference between contentment and fulfillment, right? I was completely content at this job. I had figured out how to do it. I had no stress. I was very successful in the role. But at the same time, through some introspective work, I realized that I was entirely unfulfilled. So that's when I started thinking about making a change.
So that's really interesting because if you've watched any of the other interviews, a lot of us, myself included, we have a decent job. The pay is okay. We have benefits. I mean, seemingly, I had 6 weeks vacation. There was no reason to go.
Right.
And yet this idea of fulfillment, I think, is really important. And apparently money and vacation and benefits, we're all finding, aren't actually the epitome of fulfillment.
Right. They have been important, but I've found that I don't necessarily need to get them from the traditional model of having an employer. And precipitated my leaving my job was I wanted to continue growing in my career, but there was nowhere for me to go with this company. I reported to a vice president who reported to the CEO, so there was no advancement for me.
Okay.
And then the thought of going to another company, learning the culture there, establishing credibility with management, figuring out how to do the job, all of that sounded very tiring. So I started thinking about maybe I could start my own consulting business, which would give me more flexibility and a way to continue growing in my career.
So you parlayed sort of a management job into a consulting job, where you're doing mostly marketing. Like, what are the?
Yeah, it's a combination of marketing communications and employee communications. So I basically advise companies on how to talk about things in a way that that helps their business. So yes, I set up a home-based business doing this.
Okay.
Right? So I gave notice to my employer. I started my own consulting firm based out of my home. This was in 2007. And I do most of my work over the phone and via email. I visit clients maybe once or twice a year, but otherwise everything is done remotely.
So, so first thing is, when you started this consulting business, did you just sort of wake up one day and be like, I'm doing this, and told your employer I quit, or did you work at it for a while before you gave notice?
The latter,
okay.
For sure. During those days, or at that time in my life, I was extremely risk averse, right? Which is why this idea of leaving the security of a full-time job was completely out of character for me. So I had to come to a place of willingness to step into tremendous uncertainty. But for about a year, I worked on that. I saved up a year's worth of mortgage payments. So, worst case scenario, my business fails spectacularly. I don't make any money. Well, at least I've got some money set aside. So I kind of managed the risk that way. I also started doing some freelance consulting on the side while I was still employed full time, so I could kind of give myself a little bit of runway. And so when it came time to leave my job, I went to some of my freelance clients and said, hey, can I count on you for some work? And I put some of those on retainers, so that way I could expect a certain amount of money per month out of the gate.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so you gave it some thought, you gave it some time, you made it work. So step one, you weren't fulfilled, you found some fulfillment outside of work, you built that up, you quit. But then there was a second part, right? Because the traveling.
That's right. There was a second phase of my journey. After a few years of managing a home-based business, I don't know whether it was just looking at the same four walls all day long or what, but I started to get a little restless, and I found that even just the most benign business trip was still kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Just, you know, staying in a hotel room and seeing a different city. And also I was, being self-employed, I had so much more flexibility. I had even more than the 6 weeks vacation.
There
right?
you go. Yep.
So I was doing a lot of personal travel. And I started thinking, you know, I'm really stimulated by travel. How can I do this full time?
Mm.
And that was maybe 5 or 6 years ago that I started thinking about that. And started figuring out how to calibrate my personal life and my business life to make it mobile.
So how did you, obviously a personal life changes is different for everyone, but in terms of your business, what did you need to shift or sacrifice, give up to be able to travel full time?
Well, I had to completely trade off on my comfort zone. Right, so
yep.
I had a comfort zone in my full-time job that I left, and then I had a comfort zone in my home-based business that I had created.
Yeah,
I had to leave that as well, because when I am traveling, I pretty much have to put my expectations out the window.
Yeah.
Right. The whole point of for me the whole point of traveling is to create a sense of adventure, and with adventure comes uncertainty. Right. I mean, I can have plans of how I want this experience in this city to look. It doesn't work that way. I check my expectations at the door and just let the destination unfold for me. And that's been one of the greatest rewards of this lifestyle. And frankly, I used to be a very in-the-box person, right? I planned everything. Right?
Yep.
I had no risk.
Yep.
You know, and now I'm the opposite.
So that's interesting because I think it was in the first episode in this series with Noah Sorensen, you heard us talking about comfort zones. And I think this is something that happens is to live this life, you really do have to step widely outside of your comfort zone. But when you do that, your comfort zone, I don't know if it gets bigger or if you just get comfortable being uncomfortable, but something there shifts.
Yes, I think that's very well said. It's becoming uncomfortable. It's it's becoming comfortable being uncomfortable. That is exactly what it is, because the flip side of that discomfort is adventure and spontaneity.
Yep.
And never really knowing what's around the corner, but being willing to take the ride and see what happens. And it really is it's a thrilling way to live.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, personally, when you say that, I think almost of like adrenaline junkies that want to like go jump out of an airplane and bungee jump. And I'm sorry, that just doesn't,
yeah,
no.
I mean, so
I did, I think we were talking when I was in Huacachina, Peru a few weeks ago, there was these dune buggies and sandboarding. Even that was too adventurous for me.
Yeah.
But I think this sense and this idea of wanting adventure and wanting change and novelty,
right,
is a great way to live and doesn't involve all of that crazy jumping out of the airplane. So
that's right, and it's interesting that you say novelty, because that was also one of my drivers, right? Just I found that just living in the same city, San Diego, California, even though it's a beautiful place, it does get a little bit old, right? And you know, staying in the same home office day in, day out. So part of my embarking on this travel lifestyle was to create this novelty. But one of the personal learnings I've had on this path is that novelty is unsustainable. You may think that, well, you know, novelty is as varied as there are cities in the world, and yes, but it comes down to the intention that I take into it. If I'm going into a new region, looking for constant stimulation, what I've learned is that reaches a point where it doesn't feed me anymore, right? Because it's kind of like any other substance or diversion that you become dependent on,
yeah.
Right? If I am looking at travel to fix some problem that I have in my mind or in my constitution, that is the wrong intention to take into it. And I actually came to that realization a couple of years ago, and have since been recalibrating my intentions.
I like that a lot. I know I've been traveling 18 months now, and same thing, you know, there have been a couple of moments where I'm like, oh, you know, traveling is so exciting and new, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm tired of traveling. Mm-hmm. And I actually am really happy now, like here I am in Cape Town, South Africa, but I'm taking my time. I think we talked about this concept of slow travel.
Right.
So it's not about sightseeing every day, and it's not actually about seeing everything. Like, I don't really care if I didn't see absolutely every sight there is.
That's right.
It's actually like enjoying, oh my God, there's a beautiful bay, or oh, look at that mountain, and I could just sit in a cafe and just look at that. Or actually, I've brought my computer to a cafe and worked. And oh, another really cool thing. Here in Cape Town, they have cannabis coffee, and it's not really, it's apparently hemp, it's not marijuana. But anyway, so I had a cup of cannuccino the other day while I was working, so that was very fun. But let's go back to what you were talking about with the setting your intention, because that's a really interesting point. Is I think you've been traveling, doing this for about 5 years, and there's that difference. You know, someone, if you're newer at this and you've been on the road a few months, right? There's the beginning of the transition of your thinking that happens, and you releasing sort of all the conformity and societal ideas of how you should live. But I think when you get to 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, something else is happening. So can you explain a little bit more about what happened 3 years ago that made you, that frustrated you or whatever, that made you shift your intentions, and what the intentions are?
Yeah. Well said. Again, the first couple of years, it was just a world of excitement and adventure and opportunity. And every place that I went, I found a new level of stimulus. But then I started noticing that, you know, I'm not getting as much of a thrill ride as I did before. And I think that's just a result of the more spectacular experiences I have, the higher the bar becomes.
Mm.
And that's why it's unsustainable. So, and I also realized that, you know, the old adage, wherever you go, there you are. Right. I realized that I had been, perhaps subconsciously, using travel as a way to run away from my my discontents that I carry with me wherever I go. And so that kind of took me by surprise. And frankly, I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't see it sooner, because I'm a pretty self-aware person, right? But I realized that I had been using travel to fix this emptiness that I feel sometimes, and travel is not the solution for that. That's an inside job. So the way I've shifted now is when I'm going somewhere, I try to go to it, right? So it's going towards something instead of running away from something.
Yeah.
And just kind of setting that intention before I get on the plane or before I start making my plans, that helps keep things in the right perspective.
Okay, that's great. And I think this is important for you listening, because I think this is sort of maybe a human condition or a lifelong experience, which is, I think for all of us, we want to change. And one of the reasons that you might travel, or you might get a new job, or you might start your own business, is because you're so fired up and passionate about it. But you're likely to find several years into it that maybe it's not as exciting anymore. Maybe it's a little boring. And once again, you want to reinvent yourself and do something different. So one, this is normal if any of you out there are experiencing this and thinking, oh my God, I made all this change and now what? But two, I think we were also talking about this the other night, that you've been traveling for a while, you have this business, and you left your corporate job for wanting more fulfillment, and I think something's starting to happen to you now, again, where you're also seeking something new, so can you speak to that?
Yeah, sure, and just a quick rewind on the leaving the corporate job and starting my own business. It has been immensely fulfilling, and I would say that, you know, I had fear around, you know, leaving the money and the illusion of security that I had at my job, but I have made more money and had more successes in my own business than I had in my full-time job. So that has been great. But kind of the same way or a similar way that some of my travel started to change in the way I felt about it. My work, I've also started looking at my work in a new way. I mean, I've been in my field of strategic communications for some 23 years, and I've had my own business for some 13 years, and I just find that, look, I still really enjoy helping my clients succeed. I've been looking at ways to mix things up, and one way to do that, I've found, is with volunteer work. In fact, the reason why I'm in Africa is because I was in Swaziland a couple of weeks ago doing some pro bono consulting for a nonprofit there. And that was immensely gratifying. Even though I wasn't getting paid, I was clearly helping build capacity for this struggling organization, and I could see the immediate benefits of my work. And I got to learn about a whole new part of the world, and I'm really thankful for that experience. And it's got me thinking, okay, how can I do more of this and still maintain my same financial position?
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And speaking of financials, how are you? I mean, so basically, your business is allowing you to afford this lifestyle on the road. Yep. Is there any tips for other people out there that are thinking, like, can I take my business on the road? Can I afford it? Like, what to do and how to do it?
Look, there's a ton of people, companies, sole proprietors who do what I do. Before I left my job, I needed to think about what makes me different, kind of what, and you know, to use some marketing language, what is my value proposition? Why should a company pay me for their communications work versus any of the many other options under the sun? So that was something that was critical at the beginning, right? Otherwise, I would just be rolling the dice on this business idea. So I did a little bit of research at the beginning, talking to clients, prospective clients, experimenting with different kinds of service offerings. So I guess my first tip would be to, you know, figure out the value proposition for your service offering, whatever that is, right? So I mean, why should somebody pay you for what you do? Just because you're good at it, unfortunately, is often not enough, because other people are good at it as well.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. Another thing, you know, I have benefited greatly from the tax structure in my business. So one reason why I'm able to live this way is because every trip that I take and all the expenses associated with that trip are tax deductible.
Perfect.
But
yep.
Because of the way that I set up my business, I set it up as an S corporation, and since my business is management consulting, traveling the world is a way for me to better understand different markets, so I can better advise my clients. So all of that travel is a legitimate tax deduction, and without that, I would struggle to live the way that I do.
And side note, we are not advising you on how to set up and structure your business. This
that's
is
right.
one way to do it. You need to speak to your accountant and your lawyer to figure out what's best for you.
That's right. And as part of my risk management and in leaving my full-time job, one of the first things that I did was talk to a tax advisor because I wanted to know how much money I would need to make in order to have the same financial outcome from my full-time job, right? And when you're writing things off and getting paid in a different way, there are different considerations to keep in mind.
Yeah. Okay. Those are great tips.
Yeah.
You know, what's after? What do you think is after South Africa and where are you headed?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to the United States and spend some time with my family. And then after that, I'm thinking about Mexico City. I spent some time there a year ago, and it's a place that I would like to get to know better. I found it very, very charming, despite its maligned reputation. And I'm also thinking about a return to Southeast Asia. I was there some years ago in Thailand, and there are other parts of Thailand that I like to explore. I have a friend there, and by the way, I did not have this friend until a few years ago. I met him on the road,
yeah.
And he's somebody I would like to revisit. And I'm also thinking about Hong Kong, though it's not the best climate to be in Hong Kong, arguably, but it is a place that I've wanted to see.
One thing you're making me think of, because I assume a lot of your client work, you said a couple times it's, you know, in person, but the majority is meetings on the phone or
yep.
the internet.
Yes.
So one problem I know we all face is Wi-Fi access.
Yes.
So how do you navigate the Wi-Fi challenges in conjunction with your running your business?
Yeah, that's it is a critical factor. I cannot run my business without Wi-Fi. So, you know, I live full-time in Airbnbs and hotels and corporate housing type arrangements. So before I book anything, I usually talk to the owner or the manager about the quality of the Wi-Fi. I talked a few minutes ago about needing to check your expectations at the door. There have been many times when I arrive somewhere and the Wi-Fi doesn't work as expected, and look, I just need to make a change. And you know, part of calibrating my business for travel is being flexible enough and portable enough to change when things don't work. So there have been more than one instance where I've arrived at an apartment and found the Wi-Fi to be too slow or unreliable for my business. I've got to break that lease and move somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's funny because as you say that, I think, you know, old me or like working for a company, you know, you get somewhere like that and you flip out, you get the manager,
that's
you
right.
yell, and you kind of a big hissy fit, right? And,
yes.
And now it's kind of like, oh well, that's life. Like, let me find something else.
That's right. I've had exactly the same experience. The old me would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, now you just roll with it.
So, any tips for somebody listening to this interview who's kind of like, oh, I might want to start my own business, or, you know, more importantly, go traveling full time, like on just any tip at all that you would?
Yeah. So, I mean, I mentioned a couple of them. You know, figure out your intention and kind of pay some attention to that. In terms of business, again, you know, figure out what your value proposition is. In terms of travel, just a couple of tips. In my experience, community is the antidote for loneliness, or just for
yeah.
aloneness. So whenever I go out to eat, if I'm going out to eat alone, I always sit at the bar or the community table, if there is one, because that's a great way to meet people. I use meetup.com. That's all around the world. I use the dating apps, you know, Tinder and Bumble and so forth, and OkCupid. Those are all over the world as well. And you don't think, look, they're great for romantic encounters, but they're also just great for meeting friends, right? And I've got I have collections of friendships all over the world as a result of these tools. I'm a member of a couple of international organizations, and this has also helped. So if maybe there's an international association for your industry, whatever that is, you know, look, see if you can connect to the chapters in other parts of the world. So for example, I'm a member of the International Association of Business Communicators, which is IABC, and they have a chapter in San Diego, and I've been active in that chapter. A few years ago, I moved to Melbourne, Australia, not knowing a soul, right? I went there for the Australian Open, and I just stayed on for 3 months more. And I reached out to the local chapter of IABC, and the person who answered my call put together a coffee, and I had an instant business community overnight, and they introduced me to other people, and those people introduced me to others, and so now I have a whole second home in Melbourne.
Wow.
I'm also a member of InterNations.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Okay.
We'll have to connect.
Right. Which is another great way to move people around the world.
Yeah. And thank you. I forgot, of course, I've spoken to a lot of solo women travelers, but you're the solo male traveler. There's seems like there's fewer men that solo travel, but do you find any, you know, as a solo female traveler, we have a set of, you know, I'm always being asked, oh, you're alone? Do you get asked if you're alone?
Like traveling
just,
alone?
Just,
or
yeah,
single?
Like when you meet people. No, just traveling alone.
Oh, whether I'm alone? I can't recall. I mean, I think it generally comes up in conversation. I usually present myself.
Yeah.
I kind of tell my story. Like when I'm meeting somebody, you know, I just say, yeah, you know, I have a home base in San Diego, but I'm just here for 3 or 4 months
yeah.
to get to know the city and go home.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, women have to also be careful, more careful, I think. So it's always interesting to have that flip side experience of,
right.
you know, the solo male traveler.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, very interesting. Yes, I'm proactively transparent about my traveling alone.
Yeah.
It's part of the story I'm telling out there.
Yeah. So if anyone listening to this interview wanted to reach out to you with a question or get some advice or anything, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. My company's website is casonlane.com. That's CASONLANE. You can also find me on Twitter.
And what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, it's Casey Lane.
Casey Lane. Okay. And you'll see that written below when I edit the video. So.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
so
sure.
Perfect.
Yeah, and there's a contact button on the website, and that goes directly to my email, and I'm happy to meet anybody and answer any questions and take it from there.
Great. Well, thank you. This has been
okay.
so fun
yeah,
having you on the show. And for anyone listening again, this has been another episode of The Inspired Nomads. And if you are watching and you think you should be on the show and be interviewed, I would love to have you. You can fill out an interview form at www.interviewquestionnaire.com. And otherwise, we have a Facebook group called The Inspired Nomads if you want to check us out there. I thank you so much for listening. We're still on the Apple Podcast. If you would like to listen in future or know someone else who wants to. And I recently got the episodes onto Stitcher. I'm working on getting them onto Google Play or the Google Podcast. So stay tuned. I'm trying to get us all over the place. So in the meantime, thank you so much for watching and listening. I love what I learn each time. This has been no exception. This has been a wonderful interview. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of The Inspired Nomads. Bye-bye.
Bye.